city, I've been browsing. Treading water that they drowning. My head on a swivel, yeah. It's only real in my surroundings.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hello and welcome to episode 208 of the Smash Accept podcast. I'm your host, Michael Royer. You can find me on Twitter at DynastyDadFF. You can tell by my voice, it is startup season. I'm super excited because we have a great show planned for you tonight, talking about where rookies are being drafted in your startups, how high you should be taking them, who's in those areas equivalency-wise. Smash Accept 13 just kicked off. We're at Snoog. I got to tell you, man, we're in round four and I got 525 firsts already. And three players. And I'm like, I love startup season. It's so much fun. It's the most questions I'm getting right now is like, yo, where are you drafting this rookie? Where are you drafting that rookie? And Snoog, this is just honestly, every single week we get closer and closer to the NFL draft. And it's like, I know we're only in February, but I'm excited.
Yeah. And the combine's rolling around about a month away. We're going to see these wide receivers run, test well. 2024 class is stacked at the position. So I'm excited to see that. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to break down values and tiers with these rookies and kind of help you guys get a feel for where you should be taking them, like neighbors. Should you be taking them over the Chris Olaves and the Jalen Waddles of the world? Should you be taking Marvin Harrison right after the Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lambs, Justin Jeffersons? We're going to help you with all of that. We're also going to help you find the values in that quarterback position because that can be really tough, right? Like last year, this time, I wasn't one of the believers, but there was a lot of people, including those big name guys like Zerline, Bucky Brooks, all those guys just pinning in Will Levis as a top five pick. Same with Mel Kiper. These are guys that have been around for a long time, seen a lot in the process. Everyone thought Will Levis was this top five pick, and he ended up going in the second round. So the quarterback position definitely gets the most contradicting, especially with J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix. Like, these guys could fall into that mid to late first range and change a lot of draft boards. So we're going to help you guys kind of feel out those tiers and kind of give you head and shoulders and help you have head and shoulder advantage over your peers. So
that's why we're talking about taking as many second round picks as possible. Yeah. Get yourself loaded up there. I mean, right now the firsts are difficult to acquire. I'm really starting to, you know, have to really make some fine tuning and some communication there, but the seconds, they get thrown around like candy in a startup. And these second rounders this year are going to be very nice. So let's start talking about this right away. You talked about the quarterback position. You know, it is the position that fails the most. We talk about hit rates for quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs. Wide receiver and running backs, we have a lot of great predictive stats. You know, we look at yards per route run. We look at college dominator. We look at, you know, their breakout age. All of these things really plan out. And for the most part, you can see the Quentin Johnstons of the world where it's like, this might not work out. You can see the Jordan Addisons and the Zay Flowers. You're like, okay, everything kind of lines up. With the quarterback position, so much it goes to what's the landing spot, who's the coaching staff, what are the weapons, you know? So we talk about that position on top of that being so difficult. Everyone was very locked in on Bryce Young last year at this time as the QB1, you know, and then you and I were talking Stroud at that point, and that's neither here nor there. But now we got to talk about this year. The clear-cut 101 for me is Caleb Williams. Some people debate Marvin Harrison, but it's Caleb Williams. I mean, you got to look at where he's going. For me, Caleb Williams is one of the most polished prospects, one of the highest ceiling prospects we've seen since Andrew Luck, maybe before that. So, Snoog, undoubtedly, he's going in crazy areas in startups. It's very reminiscent of Trevor Lawrence, you know, in his rookie season where he was going 106 to 112. Caleb Williams right now, and where you can expect to draft the 101 rookie pick, in Smash 9, it went 109, and that's par for the course. It's going between 108, and the latest I've seen in all of our Smash ADP that we're starting to put together is 201. So what I got to ask you is, You know, how comfortable are you taking Caleb Williams? He goes in the same range as Justin Herbert, Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb, and Bijan Robinson. I mean, that's who you're taking him over. So, I mean, how comfortable are you in Caleb Williams' skill set? I mean, first of all, what's his ceiling, and how comfortable are you in that area?
I think his ceiling is definitely top five fantasy football quarterback. Like, I mean, the way he makes plays off platform, the arm talent, his ability to push the ball downfield, what he can extend and turn nothing into something. Like, those are the traits you look for in these type of quarterbacks.
At 109, though, you're taking him as the QB8 already.
Yeah, definitely not taking him over Herbert, not taking him over Burrow, not taking him over Stroud, not taking him over Hurts, Allen, Mahomes, Lamar.
But you take him, you agree with me where you take him above Richardson, Kyler. Yeah. You know, like he belongs there.
Year, I think it goes 8, Caleb, 9, Kyler, 10, Richardson. Like, I think that's my tier. I think a realistic ceiling for him is like that Kyler Murray type. I think they play very similar. They're both really good rushing quarterbacks. Caleb had double-digit rushing touchdowns, and I think both of his last 2 years in college, and he can throw the ball forever. Like, his arm talent's great. His medium accuracy is phenomenal as well. He can throw at all three levels. The issue with Caleb is people say, like, can he play in structure? Mm-hmm. He never had to, because USC's line stunk. They were always playing from behind. They had one of the worst defenses in college football at the Power 5 team. They were just always in situations where he didn't have to, where he did have to play hero ball, because he's their best player by a mile. Mm-hmm. And he was the reason why they did win games if they won any. So I think Caleb Williams in a structure, in a good system, with good weapons around him, a decent offensive line where he can sit there, he will pick you apart all day long. He's not on the CJ Stroud level of a thrower as a passer with the tight window abilities that Stroud had coming out, but he's definitely on that, like, Bryce Young, Kyler Murray type of, like, he can throw the ball downfield well, he can throw the ball medium well, and he can also hit anybody underneath he needs, and he'll make the throws on the run, which is huge, right? Because a player like that, always playing out of structure, he's going to come into the league and he's going to feel a lot of pressure, especially playing for, like, the Bears and or the Pats or the Commanders or whoever.
Well, that's my next question there is, like, so, yeah. I mean, if he goes to the Bears, I think with DJ Moore and Cole Kmet there, I mean, I think the ceiling is.
And they got pick 9. They got pick 9. They got an early second. Like, they get
neighbors in there. I mean, like, they're in a situation where Justin Fields was given nothing. If Caleb Williams goes to the Bears, I really like that for his fantasy stock. I think if he goes to the Commanders, you know, with McLaurin and with Dotson, I think that is, you know, in that area. The ceiling play right now, Snoog, is one of these guys. Minnesota's pushing to get up to that top spot. You know, they're one of these big quarterbacks. I mean, if Caleb Williams goes there, I think he has a top three dynasty ceiling. Like, I think that is in the – because he has the rushing floor, because he has the upside in passing, I mean, that's kind of where we're at. So he's going to cost you a late first in a startup draft. That's why we talk about every single year when you do a rebuild, when you do a retool – you know, that 101 is just worth so much more. I mean, I think it's actually at a spot where we talk about every year where it's, you know, 30 to 50% more valuable. This year with Marvin Harrison, it's not quite as much more valuable. But honestly, if you guys have that 101, it's Caleb Williams. It's not Marvin Harrison. It really isn't. Because look at what we have here. This is a scenario where this guy is a top 8 quarterback. In order to be in that draft capital next year, Marvin Harrison, right now, Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb, and Jefferson are the only three guys that are worth equivalent or more than Caleb Williams. Marvin Harrison immediately has to do that. Then you look at Marvin Harrison's ceiling versus, you know, Caleb Williams' ceiling. Caleb Williams' ceiling is 3+ firsts because his ceiling is up there as a top 5 quarterback. Marvin Harrison's ceiling is Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson is not worth 3 firsts. That's, to me, the biggest divide between the two of them. And that's why I keep telling people, it's like, yo, if you – so many people say, yo, Dad, I have Joe Burrow and Anthony Richardson. What do I want Caleb Williams for? Why would you not want 3 top 5 to 8 dynasty quarterbacks? So I'm with you with Herbert. I'm taking Herbert over him. I think 1-for-1 in a startup, it's really tough getting quarterbacks. That's the tricky part. So Chase – has gone after Caleb Williams in almost every draft I've seen. Lamb certainly has. Bijan 100% has. So the 101 this year has gotten you to a point where it's a top 10 asset overall, you know, and I think That's what people have to really start paying attention to in your rebuilds. I don't think 2025 is going to do that because it's running back heavy. I don't think there's anybody that's going to be into that area if you're rebuilding. So let's talk about, and I think that's good communication there as far as that 101. The 102 is not far off. Right now, the 102, which for me is Marvin Harrison Jr., you know, like I don't see an area right now where Drake May would have to get a beautiful landing spot.
No
shot. But Marvin Harrison Jr. is the 102. And we're both in agreement of that. And for now, he's going in startups between the 205 and the 208 in Smash 13. He went at, I believe, 207, which is the 102. I mean, we're not saying Marvin Harrison Jr. per se, but the 102 is going in that area. And that's something that drafting rookies in your startup, before we talk into Marvin Harrison, how much do you put into that? Because for me, I'm looking at the 102, and it's the equivalent of Kyler Murray, Breece Hall, or Bijan Robinson, or Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I say to myself, can those guys go up in value? The answer is not right now, right? But those rookie picks, they can't drop in value. They're only going to continue to increase. So how do you do that in a startup? People ask me all the time, you know, and that's why we're doing this exercise. How do you gauge the rookies versus the vets?
Yeah, I usually like to fade rookie value and in mock drafts, especially the higher end ones, just because like you're building your team around like a foundation of players. Like I think in like a startup, unless I'm going into it saying like I'm hitting the rebuild, I'm going to collect as many firsts as possible. Mm-hmm. I think you almost like have to lean Amon-Ra St. Brown or like AJ Brown over Marv there, just because like if he does go to the Patriots at three, which is a very high possibility, like that sucks. Like, you're looking at another Garrett Wilson where he's like an 1,100-yard guy, peppered with targets, but just no touchdown volume.
They're going to bring in Kirk Cousins too, baby.
It's like a 50-50 shot. Yeah. I am still not fully sold on Jaden Daniels being like this like prodigy top three draft pick where Pats think he's like the best option over Marv. But if he goes to the Cardinals and plays with Kyler, or he goes five to the Chargers and plays with Herbert, like he's probably the dynasty wide receiver four. Pushing up into that tier with like Chase Lamb and Jefferson. And so it's tough. Marv is literally my comp form's AJ Green. Like, I think
that was what I put too. Yeah, I love that.
6'4, can play at all three levels. Great route runner, good at getting separation. People think he's like not a good athlete for some reason. Like, I would bet a lot of money that he runs like a 4.38, 4.440.
I put 4.4 in my profile, and people are criticizing that. And then I looked at what Zoltan put out today. When it comes to contested catches, number one in all of college football at 69% contested catch rate. I mean, that's an absurd.
That's people think look at that as a flaw, though. That's just because CJ Stroud was like one of the best tight window throwers of all time in college football. Like, he would literally put the ball, like, even if you were covered, he would put the ball right here every single time. So that's why, like, in McCord, obviously, it's like you're playing hero ball. You're just going to throw the ball up to Marv. So I don't look at that as like he can't create separation. I look at it like he was their whole team and that they relied on him to make plays downfield and make plays after the catch and stuff. So I just think Marv is literally like an AJ Green, and Neighbors is like an Odell, and you can't go wrong with either, but we'll get into Neighbors.
You got excited on the rookie talk there, and I love it. What you had to say was, for me, just like in the rookie draft, I think 104 to 107 is the sweet spot. And I think in your rookie drafts, in your startup drafts, that's the same thing. Is like you're in an area where it's like you want to get to those areas because that's where it's at. Just a reminder, guys, we go live at 7 o'clock on when we post these on YouTube, on Twitter. You guys can communicate with us. One of our guys that's in our group chat that we talk to all the time, PPR Fantasy Tips, make sure you guys check him out on Twitter. He put great stuff, y'all. You know, like, you guys can continue to, you know, discuss things with us. Obviously, you know, Timothy Ligon, he put, I think Marv's a low 4.5s guy.
I put a lot of money on that with you, Timmy.
He's a 4.4 guy, but let's talk about that 102 right now. So if you're in that area right now, Snoog, and, you know, we just talked about you're not interested in necessarily going that route, do you take the 102, Kyler Murray, Breece Hall, or Amon-Ra St. Brown in that early second range of your startup draft?
Give me Mr. Kyler Murray. I think he gets Marvin Harrison Jr. at four, and then they also pick don't they pick again in the first round? They traded with Houston. Yeah, they have two first-round picks this year. They got McBride, they'd have Marv, or maybe Neighbors. they'd have another first round. They drafted Paris Johnson last year, who's a stud tackle. Like, Kyler Murray was at his absolute floor coming off an ACL and was still a top 12 quarterback. Like,
He went 208 and smashed 13, and I was losing it because I was like, I wanted to take him at 201 when I was moving back. And I think by the time startup season is over, after the NFL draft, yeah, I think Kyler Murray is going to be at that 112, 201. So
such a good value. I got his jersey for $30. I got the $179 Vapor Elite off NFL.com in the offseason because everyone thought he wasn't going to be a Cardinal and like they were going to trade him. And it was before he got signed. I bought his jersey for like $39 or like $29. And it's real. And I have it in my closet. Did the black alternate one. It's so fresh.
So for me, I guess the interesting question then, I think that gets a little bit closer then, is if you have to choose between Amon-Ra St. Brown and Marvin Harrison. And I think what you have is a scenario of Amon-Ra St. Brown is the or a wide receiver one floor and a top five ceiling. You know what I mean? And I think you look at what you have with Marvin Harrison, and you have a ceiling of, in my mind, wide receiver one overall. Yep. But I think when it's all said and done, he's going to be in that area where, like you said, if he goes to the wrong area, it could be a Garrett Wilson, because I think Garrett Wilson's talent level is pretty comparable to Marvin Harrison Jr. It's not crazy depth. Like, people are like so down on Garrett Wilson. I think Marvin's a little bit more talented, but not a lot. So I think we're in an area where it's like landing spot is going to be important, where Amon-Ra St. Brown is in that Lions offense that we love with Jared Goff, having his guaranteed targets of 140 to 160. And I think he's just locked and loaded, you know? I would definitely prefer that if I'm in a just straight up, you know, startup scenario.
Yeah.
But that's splitting hairs. So I like that because I think I got to ask you though. I mean, this is the biggest thing in the offseason is I'm not interested in running backs early. I had a lot of different opportunities here to take Breece Hall, to take Jahmyr Gibbs at the same spot where Marvin Harrison Jr. went. And the running back position, as talented as those guys are and as Bijan is, it's hard for me to take them over the 102 right now. I don't know where you're at on that. I love all three of them. The only way I'm doing it is if my team is like dominant and it's points per carry and these three guys are going to take me over the top.
I think those three are the ones you can argue in that 102, 103 range. I'd probably take them all over the 103.
But yeah.
If the two and the one is Caleb Marv, I think that they're all valued right at the three.
You could
probably argue Bijan and Marv, but I think it's with Gibbs and Bijan, them being first round picks, they got paid. They were huge parts of their offenses of rookie years. Both were really elite. And they have the potential to be on those teams for 4 to 5 years with that fifth year extension. So I really like their situations long term. Breece's he's already going to be on his third year in his rookie deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's on a horrible Jets team. I mean, they're getting Rodgers back. The O-line was so banged up and terrible, but he finished with like 290 points and he was like the RB2 overall. Like, we saw Breece's half ceiling. Like, they could all finish as the RB1 overall. They could all put up 350 plus points. They can do it all. The three down workhorse backs. I think it's safe to put them all in that like 103, 104 range. And I think I'd lean those guys just because like they're top. They're like 1A, 1B, 1C at the position. So it's just the value there. But
yeah, let's move to the 103 then. I mean, right now the 103 is Drake May. The average ADP across the 20 plus leagues that we've been looking at is the 209 to 212. He went in at the 208 and smashed 13. So it's like all these are kind of lining up in that same area. And he went in the same area as Garrett Wilson, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Breece Hall. So I mean, I think you're right on the nose. I do think Bijan belongs in the 102 conversation. I think Gibbs and Hall are in this 103 conversation, as is Garrett Wilson. So if you had to choose between these three guys, I mean, let's start off with Drake May. The ceiling for me is Justin Herbert. I think Drake May, and that was my comp for him, I think he could really be in that tier if in the right system. If he goes to Washington and they beef up the offensive line and get him another weapon, I think for sure Drake May has the possibility to be a top 12 dynasty quarterback. And I'm going to jump on Zoltan's pod and talk about him because I love Drake May as a prospect. I think he's in that area right now. For me, he is already a top 12 to 15 dynasty quarterback, and I'm perfectly fine taking him at 103. I wouldn't take him in 102 unless it's a two quarterback league that is very passer friendly, you know, six point passing and just maybe a scenario where you just can't pass up. But if you're choosing between Drake May, Garrett Wilson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Breece Hall, is he in that tier for you? And what are the scenarios where you would think one way or another?
To start off, Drake May is going to be my 104. I think as long as Neighbors goes top 6 to 8, he's going to be my 3. I just think Neighbors is like just such a good wide receiver prospect. The floor is very high. Drake May to the Commanders or maybe the Patriots, he could struggle a lot year one. But my realistic comp and ceiling for Drake May is Jordan Love this year. Just like how Jordan Love is viewed today. I think he has arrogant arm talent. I think he does deserve to be in that tier with people, especially if you go second overall in the draft. Like, that just proves the franchise is all in on you to make you the guy there. So I think him and the Commanders is a lot better than him in New England, just because they already got Dotson, they got Terry, they have Kurt Samuel, they got decent run game of Brian Robinson. They got some decent pieces. They're remodeling that team, so things could get better for them. I think his ceiling, like 4,500 passing yards, and like he could throw for like 25, 30 touchdowns, some rushing upside there. But I think I almost lean like the Gibbs, the Breece Halls, the Bijans.
Yeah, I'm with you because I think May's going to take some lumps.
Yeah,
it could be a Burrow type rookie season where there's going to be some turnovers. There's going to be some struggling along the way where he goes. But I think long term, he's a guy that I prefer over Tua, over Dak. You know, like I prefer him in that area, in that 103, and I love the value. Wilson, Gibbs, and Breece Hall. Keep one, trade one, cut one. Almost impossible to do where you're at, but who are you doing those three? I think what I'm going to do is you're going to hate me, is I'm going to keep Garrett Wilson. I'm going to trade. Oh man. I'm going to trade Breece Hall, and I'm going to cut Jahmyr Gibbs. And I know that this is like no man's land. You can't say a right or wrong answer. I think Garrett Wilson is going to steadily rise in value like he did last year. But this year, if Aaron Rodgers stays on his 2 feet, is going to put himself into a tier, you know, into that second tier right below Jefferson, Lamb, and Chase, and be the wide receiver 4 in Dynasty for me. I think Breece Hall's value is a little bit more than Gibbs. That's why I traded him and cut Gibbs.
People don't realize with Garrett Wilson that I don't give a damn if Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old coming off an Achilles tear. Give him decent protection in that line. He gets the ball out quicker than anybody else in the league. That's what Garrett thrives, his lightning quick release off the line, his shimmy and his shake. He can excel downfield as well. But in that short to medium range, there's like maybe 3 wide receivers better than Garrett Wilson off the line of scrimmage. And he would be really good the past 2 years if he scored damn touchdowns, and he ain't gonna when his team has 15.
But he did in college, so it's not him. It's the roster that he's on. I'm with you for sure.
Quarterback that can throw damn touchdowns, and Aaron Rodgers is one of those. We saw him a year and a half ago in Green Bay throw for like 26, 27 touchdowns. That's all Garrett Wilson needs if he grabs 8 of those, 9 of those. He'll finish top 8 to 10. So I think Aaron Rodgers, I don't care how old he is, he'll give us 1, maybe 2 good years with Garrett Wilson, give Garrett Wilson that top 10, top 8 finish that we both really want, and we want to see him thrive. And then they have to readjust the position and see what they can do. But they have the pick 10. I've seen tons of mocks with Olufoshinu and a couple other tackles. I know Joe Alt slipped down to 10. We don't know what's going to go on with the tackles. I know the combine is going to be a big thing there. But if they can lock in a premier right or left tackle there to protect Rodgers, they get Vera Tucker back healthy, and they get – I know they drafted that Minnesota center that was hurt most of the year, Tippmann. He was solid prospect. They could build up that line and get their play action going. Breece Hall run game phenomenal, despite how bad the line was last year. Like, Aaron Rodgers is going to make some noise with Garrett Wilson, so definitely an undervalued player right now.
The biggest question I have right now, and he went at 201 in Smash Except 13, is would you take the 103 – or Puka Nacua right now? You know, I think Garrett Wilson to me, I think we still have an area here where Puka's valued over Garrett Wilson. And I don't think that's going to keep up throughout this year, but I do think we get into an area of Drake May or Puka Nacua. You know, this is one that I saw on a poll, 59-41 on the Puka side. I was surprised because we're all kind of in that rookie fever. On the flip side, when it was Marvin versus Puka, it wasn't even close. It was 70-30. So, yeah. I mean, I feel like Puka's worth the 103, but me personally, I would rather have the 103 than Puka Nacua right now.
I think it just gives you more flexibility. Like if Matt Stafford just retires this year, despite how awesome he looked last year, like he had so many injuries, shoulder injuries, elbow injuries. He just had elbow surgery last year. It's tough with that situation, but I mean, the guy just broke the rookie record. You don't,
hey, yeah,
you know, accidentally put up 1500 yards and like 100 receptions. So give me him over the 103 just because like, come on. Like you think he's better than Garrett Wilson as a talent? No way. But 1,500 yards and 100 receptions as a fifth-round rookie. Matt Stafford would be a guy that probably but throws the ball.
Your three forever. Isn't Drake May. Your three is Malik Nabers. So Nabers or Puka?
I'm taking him.
Huh? Really? Puka, yeah. All right. I think Puka. The ceiling long-term of Malik Nabers is so high. And I know you do too as well. So let's.
Like if Nabers had 1,500 yards and 100 receptions, we would be like, wow.
He'd be in the Jefferson territory.
It's like, how does he do better than that?
Yeah. Again? Let's move to the 104. So for me right now, I have, and I want to talk to you, I have 101 in a tier by itself. I think 102 and 103 are pretty similar in value for me. And then 4 through 6, which I just keep labeling that money zone. And I know, you know, ours are slightly different, but I have that as Daniels, Nabers, Bowers. You have it as May, Daniels, Bowers, you know, but I think 2 and 3 are in a tier. And then I think we move ourselves back down to 4 through 6 or a tier. And this is where I want these guys. These guys are falling to the 305 to 402. And I think 4 through 6, I keep talking about it every single week. It is such a money zone because it's like, I think Jaden Daniels has Lamar Jackson light upside. Yes. I mean, I'm watching tape and my man's getting lit up like a Christmas tree. Like he takes hits like look like video games. They're horrible, right? They look like, and he's gonna have to learn how to get away from that. Then you got Nabers in there who, I mean, the ceiling, we already have him as a top 12 dynasty wide receiver, and the ceiling is even higher. And then Brock Bowers arguably steps in as the dynasty tight end one overall once he gets his foot in the door, you know, where Laporta goes a little bit before him. But these guys all went 4 and 5 went in round 3, 6. Fell all the way to 405 in Smash 13. I think it's an absolute steal because what you have to look at is when you take 104 through 106, there's so much flexibility as opposed to at 104. If you take Laporta, if you take Fields, if you take Dak, you're locked into that player. But then if you get to 104 and you draft that, now all of a sudden, oh, okay, the rest of your draft, you didn't get a quarterback, you can take Jaden Daniels or Drake May. Oh, your wide receivers are light, now you can take Nabers. Oh, your tight end, you didn't do well. Now you can get Bowers. And in the startup, man, the flexibility of 104 through 106, I can't overstate how sexy it is.
Yeah, and honestly, it takes one team to make one mistake in that draft, and you end up getting Drake May at 4 or Malik Nabers at 4 or 5, or you get
– messaging me that all the time. My league doesn't value quarterbacks as much. I think I can get May at 4, and I'm like, geez. Like, lock it in, man.
Yeah. So I think the flexibility is huge, like you mentioned. I don't think people, Dad, I'm going to get a little bit off topic here. I don't think people realize how good Brock Bowers is. Like, I think there's a real case where you can argue him over Drake May in a heavy tight end premium league.
It would have to be 2 tight ends and tight end premium for me to consider that. Because
0.75 will get me to do that. If he goes to the Chargers or if he goes to, like, you tell me you're not taking him if he goes to Chargers at 5?
I'm not, because there's so many good tight ends right now. If he goes to the
issue,
if he goes to the Chargers, I'm trading him for, you know, I'm making sure I get McBride plus, because that's going to happen then. You know, and because the tight ends take longer. Laporta spoiled us, right? He jumped in there and he just balled out.
And Brock is the best tight end prospect.
I do too. I really do. I think he's phenomenal.
To hype up the class. I don't have a ton of rookie picks. Like, I really think I watch him and I can't believe how good he is. There's not a single weakness he has. People think he's undersized. He literally pancakes DNs like it's his job. Like, he is literally LaPorta on steroids, and that's been my comp for a while. Mm-hmm. If you think Sam LaPorta is good after the catch and good in the slot and good outside, winning down the seam, wait till you see Brock Bowers, because like he's literally the next like baby Gronk.
Well, and I think in most rookie drafts, and this is my take that I've been playing around with, that because I'm in full agreement with you. I think he's the best tight end prospect we've seen. You know, we wanted to have Kyle Pitts in that area, and if Kyle Pitts went to the right thing, Kyle Pitts was more of a unicorn athlete who can catch the ball. But this guy is like, to me, the most balanced tight end I've seen
ever
is Kittle and Hockenson. He's better than both as far as a balanced tight end that can do it all. You know, so like the interesting part to me is in rookie drafts, I'm going to trade Sam LaPorta for wherever Bowers is. Because I think you can get it.
I was going to ask you, Dad. You're the insulated trades king.
That's what I want, man.
What are you looking for on top of Bowers?
I don't think you're getting more than a second. But, I mean, if I can get Bowers and the 203 and have an area where it's like I get one of those young wide receivers or quarterback or running back that falls in there, I don't think you're getting a first. You know, like that isn't going to happen. I think you can get the 106. Like, if you do it right now and you think your league isn't going to take him to 106, I think you could do the LaPorta in a second for 106 in a first. I think that's feasible. And that's why we talk about doing this ahead of time. If you make that trade and now all of a sudden you have the insulation of that becomes the 25-104 and you gave up the 212, I mean, that's a massive swing.
I made a trade.
But if you do that, make sure you have Evan Engram on your team. Make sure you have a David Njoku, so you have a guy there just in case Bowers has somebody that you don't go all in and say, I'm pushing it in, hoping that this rookie tight end carries me.
I made a trade like that. That makes me think that I want to share back in the 2022 draft after Waddle's phenomenal rookie season. I traded Waddle after he had like 100 receptions, 1,000 yards, top 12 finish. Everyone's all over Waddle. I think I traded Waddle. Garrett Wilson slipped down to the 103 or the 104. Mm-hmm. It was like, I think it went Breece London and then it was Garrett. Or I think it went Breece London Burks. 104 was on the block. I traded Waddle for the 104 and the 201 and got Garrett Wilson and George Pickens for Jalen Waddle.
Yeah.
And I was biased towards Garrett Wilson, huge Garrett Wilson fan. But those are the type of insulated trades you need to take the risk on, especially if you're good at drafting in that early to mid second range. Like I landed George Pickens, who was my wide receiver 5 in that class. And I think I looked at it like Garrett Wilson is floor is Jalen Waddle's rookie season, like a top. Well,
would you do the same thing with, I mean, we're going back to Puka with Neighbors. Neighbors gets the top 10 draft capital. I think you can do that type of move. Same thing there with Bowers. So it's like
Neighbors
rookie. And we're going to talk about this all year, you know what I mean, until we get to that rookie draft. So I love that talk there. If you got to choose right now between Jaden Daniels, you're at the 104, between Jaden Daniels. No, I think Love's closer to the 103. But in this draft, the 104 went in the same area as Justin Fields, and Dak Prescott, and Brock Purdy. If you got to pick between one of those quarterbacks to set up with, are you taking the 104, hoping Drake May falls, or saying I'm going to take Jaden Daniels and trust the rushing upside and the deep ball that he can throw?
Yep.
Or are you taking Brock Purdy, Dak Prescott, Justin Fields?
Yeah, I will get Brock as like a young Dak. So it's tough. I think you got to lean Brock, and then you got to lean. I love taking those type of like the Dax. Like they're mm-hmm. just such good values, especially in startups. Like Dad, when you came up to me or when you mentioned to me today, like, look, I've been moving back a ton in the draft. Like I haven't drafted a quarterback yet, but we got like two on the board. Maybe it's Dak. Mm-hmm. I think you like have to lock in one of those guys and kind of bite the bullet on not taking the shiny new toy with like a Gibbs or an Olave.
Tua fell all the way to 311, which is the equivalent of the 106. And at that point,
you just got to take that value.
I couldn't pass it. Or I'm sorry, 308. Olave, I got at 311.
What's in a this trade I did? In my one-year punt, I had the whole 24 draft, like 25 draft loaded up. And I had Kyler as my cornerstone piece. I ended up hitting on Tank Dell in the startup round 15. I ended up drafting Flowers round 9. I have Kendre Miller, and that's really all I had. I traded four seconds, 201, 203, 205, and 208 for Dak straight up. And I have the 101. So that's the scenario, like you mentioned earlier. It doesn't matter if I have Caleb Williams and Kyler Murray. Go get Dak because I know Dak's going to be a top 8, top 6 guy next year. And if
Caleb's going to come calling.
Caleb is the best lottery ticket in the draft. You have to draft him. I don't care if you have three quarterbacks. Just take him. Take him and hope he hits. There's a very, very, very high chance he does. But you'll feel really stupid if you fade him just because you want to get cute. Like, just take him or trade the pick.
Then I had the 105. Now, again, right now, we're in, on a different area. I have it Neighbors or Daniels at five. Let's just call it the 105. That's going in the 308 to 401 range in the same area as Dak, Tua, and Jonathan Taylor. If you got to choose between the 105 and those three players, are you taking Dak? Are you taking Tua? Are you taking Jonathan Taylor?
I think JT is such a good value, especially because he just got a massive contract.
Yeah. And if it's in points per carry, I don't think people realize the ceiling that he's going to produce in there. You know what I mean? And
give me Dak and Tua over Jaden Daniels. I can already tell I'm going to own zero Jaden Daniels. I see the upside with the rushing. I know he was a Heisman. I know he has a crisp deep ball.
This is what's great about Dynasty is everyone says, and what's so great about 104 to 106, then you don't have to take Jaden Daniels unless you have the 106. And if you have the 106, because everybody gets so pigeonholed and they want to go talk about certain areas. And I'm like, just because Jaden Daniels, I say, is the 104 doesn't mean you have to take him at 104.
Yeah,
you can package the 104 with a 25 first and get Jalen Hurts. That's what I was doing everywhere last year when I had Bryce Young shares. I was trading up from the 102 all the way up to Josh Allen, to Jalen Hurts, to Lamar Jackson, you know, and that's where we're going to talk about that a ton, tearing up from that quarterback position, because outside of Caleb Williams, I could see a scenario where both Jaden Daniels and Drake May both bust. And I can also see a world where both of them hit too, but it's like, it's a matter of what kind of risk evaluation do you want to do and how high can you take those guys?
My thing with Daniels, I was telling Zoltan, shout out Zoltan, just an absolute beast with the rookies. Love talking to him about it. I talk to him like every day about the rookies, who we like, who we don't like. The thing I said to him about Jaden Daniels is it's not that I'm like not in on the upside. I think he's a really good rushing QB. Like, you can't match what he did as the Heisman winner last year. And in his junior year, he was a horrible passer, but he could run the ball forever. My issue with him is it's like, okay, he goes to the Patriots at three. Yeah, he got drafted three. Like, yay. All right, now he's throwing a Kendrick Bourne and Pop Douglas, and that's like his, like, he's not doing shit on that team.
The Patriots
don't fool me into thinking that he's going to be some superstar quarterback on that team. Like,
I think whoever goes to the Patriots is going to get a huge value discount that if you're patient, they are going to give you significant value, because Belichick's gone. We're going to have to see a different scenario. New coaches going to try to bring in weapons. And Belichick there towards the end just felt like he still thought he had Tom Brady, where he could have Troy Browns out there running at wide receiver. You know, like, no, you don't have that anymore. You need some legit wide receivers to help in that area. So, like, I'm with you. I'm with you for sure.
Let's move the deep ball, but.
Yeah. No, the deep ball is absolutely.
That's underneath the medium range.
I had him as Lamar Light because he's the exact same size. The rushing, he's not quite as explosive and not quite as tough with his rushes, but his speed is there, you know, and he's like, his top end speed is
not as twitchy as Lamar, but
it's 97th percentile. It's a 4.44 for sure. You know what I mean? Like, the dude can fly. We were talking about 106. This is the best value of any pick in the rookie draft, or in a startup draft, in the rookie draft. It's going to be Bowers, or it's going to be one of these guys that I talked about. And right now, the equivalent of that is Tyreek Hill, DJ Moore, and Brandon Ayuk. And as much as I love those three players, the upside of a Brock Bowers, a Malik Neighbors, or a Jaden Daniels is considerably higher. And I keep seeing Ayuk, Tyreek, DJ Moore go above the 106. And this is a matter of Snoog. We talk about people keep putting it out there where when I put a post about how good that 106 is, then they're like, well, this is knowing the unknown versus the unknown. But it's like, we're trusting the tape that we've seen, the evaluation process that we have, that there is a what percent chance is there that Brock Bowers is not worth more than Tyreek Hill by the end of next year? It's very low, 25%. Like, I'm very.
Yeah, I think you could pin it in that he's worth more than him. I truly think Brock Bowers just drafted. I think he's going to run like a 4.4, 4.42, maybe. Like, he is fast. Like, people are going to be, people like know how good he is. He was the best tight end in college every single year he was at Georgia. He played injured this year and still had a phenomenal year. analytically, best tight end of all time. With my own eyes, best tight end prospect of all time. I don't think Kyle Pitts was even like on the same like spectrum as a talent as Brock Bowers was coming out of college. Like Kyle Pitts was a freak athlete, freak size, but come on. You tell me he was as good as Bowers, as dominant? Bowers carried that Georgia offense, in my opinion. And that team won, what, 2-3 national championships while he was there? So I just think he's going to be the best tight end in the NFL at some point. I think he's going to be the tight end one overall. And if he's not valued at that, I can tell you one thing. I will own a lot of Brock Bowers. I'm almost talking myself into making Brock Bowers the 104, Dad.
I know. Well, that's what I'm like looking at. So in my head right now, I said Trey McBride's worth the 104, but how long is it going to be before Bowers is worth more than Trey McBride? And that, in a startup, I almost took Trey McBride went 310 and I had the 311 and I was hoping he fell, you know, like, but I didn't want the 106 there. But like, you know, this is that tricky part where you don't know if Bowers is the 104, 105 or 106. You know, like
what Greg Roman did with Mark Andrews, Dad.
Yeah. Let's talk about the next pick because I want to keep moving on that. Is the 107. That has not gone in Smash Except 13 yet. The 106 went, then it was Pittman, Andrews, Tank Dell, and T. Higgins. How does Roma Dunze at the 107 compare to T. Higgins, Tank Dell, Michael Pittman? Like the contested catch rate of this guy, there's a lot of things to love. Like I saw a comp the other day that is Davante Adams. You know, some people said that it's a smaller Mike Evans. Like this isn't the inline speed. I don't think is going to be 4.4.
Yeah.
But if you had to choose between Pittman, Tank Dell, and T. Higgins and Odunze, which wide receiver rank those four? Pittman, Dell, Higgins, Odunze.
Situation matters so much for like a production standpoint in fantasy football, but I think like Roma Dunze is like a better talent than them. I think he's going to go.
Agree.
A lot of the mocks as of right now have him going like either 4, 5, or 6.
Mm-hmm.
So the NFL, like most of these big name guys like Zerline, Bucky Brooks, Daniel Jeremiah, have him going.
They have him top
off the board.
They have him top 10, and it's not a top 10 like Jameson Williams or Henry Ruggs, who's just like, because they're a burner. It's because he's a legit overall like wide receiver, right?
Like Drake London plus, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the thing with me. It was like I had Drake London comped as Mike Evans because he was a little bit bigger there. But I think he's an absolute steal in this range.
Yeah.
I can't say that too loud because I'm two picks away off the clock. You know what I mean? Yo, two more picks. It's ETN, A-Chain, London, 107, and Hockenson. I'm going to be picking again soon. So I love draft season, right? You get the notifications. You trade into those windows. Yeah. You get into that area. The last pick that I want to talk about, and the cool thing for me, Snoog, is when we do this, we're doing this for a purpose.
Yep.
We are doing this because in the Patreon, we have picks 1 through 24 outlined of where they go in your startup. So if you guys are doing a startup and you guys want that information, join the Patreon. We got several different tiers. We're going to be revamping that a little bit, but you can come in there. You can get on the clock help from everyone that's in the group. You can tag myself, Snoog, or you can literally look at it and say, okay, the 107 goes right here where T. Higgins usually gets drafted. So I'm going to make that decision in my head where I want. The 108 is what's interesting to me because if you look at the 108, and you and I both talked about it, and I think you hit the nail on the head. It's Brian Thomas right now, but it could be better. It could be one of these guys down into that 8 because someone gets excited of Bo Nix, or they get excited, or the running back goes to the right spot, and they're just jumping for joy getting into that spot. The 108, and I got to pull this up real quick, is going in an area. Give me 1 second. Where'd it go? The 108 right now is going in the early 6th. There's a 2-round gap between the 107 and the 108. It's like going a round and a half between that, and it's 2 rounds after the 106. I don't think when it's all said and done that the 108 is that much further behind. Drake London just got drafted. So man Lemon was probably from the Patreon, was like probably watching the podcast as we're talking about it. But for me, I mean, I think that 108, if you got to choose between, and that's going to be the area of, you know, let's call it Jordan Addison, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Rashee Rice, or the 108. How do you like that there?
It's I think I'm going to take those three wideouts. Maybe not. No, I think I'd take.
I have Odunze over all of them, but I have them all of them in between the 107 and 108.
Yeah, it's. I mean, if you get Brian Thomas filling in for T. Higgins at 18 in the Bengals landing spot, or 17 with the Jaguars, like, or I think the Jags are not.
They're 17. 15.
They pick 15?
Yeah.
No, they pick 17. Okay, yeah. So if you get, yeah, they're 17, Colts are 15. So I think if you get, you get Brian Thomas Jr., maybe Troy Franklin, 17 or 18 to fill in for like Ridley or T. Higgins in like a landing spot with an elite QB, give me him all day. Give me the 108 over those guys. But it's like, what if they just end up going like 20-something to a team that it's like they're the wide receiver two or three on their team, and it's just like a tough landing spot. It's hard to predict values of those when you get out of the tier, because it's like a real, like, I have BT Jr., Troy Franklin, and Worthy all 4 through 6 in a tier. And then, like, maybe J.J. McCarthy goes top 12 to 15 in the NFL draft. And it's like, it's tough to value that. So, like you said, Dad, that 108, I almost value from a startup perspective over those guys just because of the flexibility. Yeah.
And I think
that one landing spot.
That I'm putting it like we talked about it before. One and two are in, one's in a tier by itself, two and three, four, five, six. And I'm putting 8 right there with 7, because I think Thomas is really talented. Franklin's really talented, or someone falls into that area. So 7, 8 for me, 9 through 12 are another tier. And right now there are at least 8 different guys that I could say go in that 9 to 12 range. And that's the sign of a good class. That's the sign of wanting to load up on those second round picks. So we hope you guys enjoyed, you know, going over those kind of things. We're going to be giving you some rookie mocks coming up here. Snoog and I are going to start doing rookie profiles in the Patreon that won't be found on our normal, you know, our normal accounts on Spotify and Apple. It's going to be just for Patreon guys. So a lot of stuff coming down the pipeline. Real excited to dive into the rookie content. I'm already started talking to Matt Hicks and you know, loading up some of our guys that we have for guests, like Matt Waldman and Angelo, who we always get on, and looking to get some new guys on there. So if there's someone you want on the show, reach out, let us know. And yeah, man, I'm so excited to get this going. Thanks again for tuning in, guys, and enjoy the process. Yo, pick 8.